Blog Talk Radio.
A change has come over.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Couch with Stacey Lunsford. You're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and we have a special guest this evening, and life coach Erica Burnett will be joining us. The song that we was listening to is entitled Change by Tremaine Hawkins. And as 2021 comes to an end, many will reflect on the events of their lives, the good times, the bad times, the sad times, the lonely times, the happy times, and some will acknowledge their accomplishments, and yet others will try to forget their failures and will not seize the opportunity to make another decision that could possibly change their circumstances. 2022 is right around the corner, and we all will have 365 days to write a new story, to make a better choice, to do something different, to change some of the negatives in our lives into positives. We all have a chance to be better human beings that will take the much-needed time to care for one another. And I'm not talking about lip service, but genuinely speaking words from our mouths that come straight from our heart that is sincere. Positive words that will empower, encourage, motivate, inspire someone else to be their best, to give their best. And this doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, dedication, and discipline. Change isn't easy, but it's worth it. Change sometimes means closing the door to the people, places, and things that we have outgrown because their season in our lives are over. Seasons come and seasons go. And the question is, are you paying attention to the signs of change? Some people will be changing jobs. Some people will be changing careers and will start their own business. Some people will be changing where they live and who they live with. Some people will change the way that they think in a positive way that will catapult them to a new way of speaking and thinking, and they will release a fresh wave of creative expressions that will release the artistic gifts, talents, skills, and abilities that have been lying dormant. So don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid to embrace change. Don't be afraid to become the change that you desire to see in this world. You have been strategically positioned to endure, to allow, and put up with many painful changes. And the changes in 2021, and our guest today is going to talk to us about changes. She is an amazing life coach. She has made some major changes in her life, and I wanted to just set the stage for this interview. Many of you have survived many storms in your life. Some of you are still struggling and may be in the midst of a storm. But I encourage you to just sit down, get a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, or whatever it is you want to drink. But we want to welcome you to the couch tonight, because we're going to have real talk, grown folks talk, and we're going to bring real issues to the table where real people with real problems are looking for real solutions. And having said that, welcome to the couch, Erica Burnett. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today. And this is an opportunity for our listeners to learn about you. So who is Coach Erica Burnett?
Oh, I'm a whole lot of things, a whole lot of people. I wear many hats. Starting from my roots, of course, I'm a daughter. I'm a aunt. I'm a sister. I'm a mentor, a volunteer, many things, entrepreneur, life coach, full-time administrative coordinator, a divorcee. So I could go on, but I wear many hats.
Okay. And I'm glad that you said all of that, because we do wear many hats. And with those many hats, there's great responsibilities, but a lot of changes take place with that. So
mm-hmm.
I just want to open up with one of your inspirational quotes, and that'll kind of set the stage for going into our interview. In the words of life coach Erica Burnett, she says, asking for help is not a weakness. It's a sign of wisdom and strength. It means that you are wise enough to know you need help and strong enough to ask for it. So could you elaborate and just tell us why you chose to share that inspirational piece?
Sure. I was raised, that comes from me being raised in a single-parent home. I was raised by, my brother and I were raised by my mom, singly, by herself. And, of course, she endured, she wore many hats, and she just did everything. She was a provider, protector, all of that stuff, and she took all of those things onto her shoulders. She was one that really put everything on her. She did not look for others to help her to do everything. She thought that she had to shoulder all of this and take on all of those responsibilities instead of reaching out most times. Now, of course, when she really, you know, desperately needed the help, of course she asked, but she took on the bulk of that responsibility herself. So that's where I learned how to do that. I learned how to, okay, I got to handle everything. I got to put everything on me, and I got to put everything in my perspective, do what I can, and just shoulder all of this stuff, when all of that I found out is not necessary. It's not necessary, and we as human beings were not created to have everything on our shoulders. That's not why God created us. He didn't create us to take on all of this responsibility without help. In fact, it's the other way around. We are here to help one another. That's why all of us have these different gifts and these different things to share with one another so we can help, so we can be a blessing to one another. That's what keeps us connected. So that's where that came from me learning that from my mother, which is something I had to kind of pull off of myself and say, it's okay. It's not a weakness to say that you need help, because all of us do need help. And we find ourselves in a lot of trouble when we don't know how to ask for help, or we're too prideful to ask for help.
Yes, that is so true. So once you realize that you didn't have to handle things that way, how did you transition and make it easier for you? Because we learn what our parents do, and we do what they do. And when you try to break those habits or those traditions, it's not easy. So how, what gave you the courage and the strength to make that change?
It had to be nobody but God. And I say that because, and I didn't learn this until like my early 40s. So really not too long
okay.
ago. I'm 48 now. But God gave me people in my life to kind of take the burden off of me without, you know what I mean? They would step in and say something as simple as, let me get the door for you. Let me, you know what I mean? Just let me get the door for you.
Wow.
Let me handle this for you. And when you're not used to that, when you're used to opening your own doors, you're used to putting all the groceries in the car for yourself, you're used to washing the window, sweeping off a step, lifting these heavy bags, taking the trash out and stuff. So God would send people and say, let me get that for you. And when I go to reach for it, they looking at me like, stop. I said I was going to get it for you. You know what I mean? So God gave me folks that were strong enough to say, Erica, you got to back up a bit. You got to learn how to back up a bit. That's how I started to get out of that. It was not on my own. It was God sending people to me saying, you do not have to do this by yourself, not any longer. So I learned from other people stepping in and, you know, hearing God's call and saying, this young lady needs some help. I'm going to need you to step in her life, and I'm going to need you to help her out a little bit and let her know that someone loves her, that I love her, and I'm sending you to help her and let her know that this life, in this lifetime, she doesn't have to do it all by herself.
Wow, that is powerful. And based on what you just said, and I'm just going to say certain things just so our listeners could really grasp what you're saying and what God did for you.
Mm-hmm.
You were dealing with something and used to doing it all on your own, but God sent people to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that process, you learned that it was okay for somebody to help you. And Erica, I'm saying that because so many people are really stuck in that place where, no, I don't need your help. I can do this myself. But they are so – remember Erica Badu's song, Bag Lady?
Yes, yes.
They have so many bags, they could barely move. And – what I hope will happen tonight throughout our discussion is that somebody listening will learn how to get help with letting these bags go and learn how to receive help. And when you've been doing it on your own for so long, it's not an easy process. So I thank you so much for sharing that. And it's very powerful that God loves us so much that he will send somebody to help his children. So,
absolutely.
Having said that, after you laid aside that weight, then what was the next change that took place in your life?
Something that comes along with that, which is trust. After, you know, you have been hoodwinked and bamboozled, as they say, by many a people. It's very hard to trust. So that's another thing that I had to get over, was learning. I had to trust people. I had to learn how to trust people and know that not everyone out there is out to get you. They're not out to set you up. They're not out to trick you. Everyone out there is not against you. Some people actually are here in your life to love you and to see you through to the next level. That was my next thing.
That is powerful. And trust is very important. And, you know, when you've been wounded and you've been hurt, it's hard to trust, but you get paranoid. And you
yes,
think
you do.
Everybody is against you, the whole world, everybody out to get you, and all of these thoughts in your mind, and you have to learn how to hear. There's three voices we hear. We hear God's voice, we hear Satan's voice, we hear our voice, well, I'm going to say four, and then we hear other people's voices too, because people talk to us. But when you hear those same negative thoughts all of the time and you start to embrace them and you start to speak them, then your behavior, everything changes and you become what you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the reasons I chose the song Change is because with all of the things that we go through and all of the things that we overcome, our thought process has to change.
Yes,
and
it does.
We need to change how we think, how we talk, how we walk. And you are a life coach. So I want to transition into, throughout the interview, I'm going to read a little bit, like a paragraph or so at a time, and then we're going to come back into the interview.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Oh, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. So I'm going to read a little bit of Life Coach Erica Burnett's bio. And if anyone is listening via the internet or the radio live, please press 1 if you have a question or a comment for Coach Erica. So I'm going to read her bio. She is a certified life coach who has amassed over 20 years of committed professional experience. She was born and raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, as a life coach focused on her clients' success, both professionally and personally. She goes above and beyond in offering support and encouragement to those who seek her service. Prior to this, however, she battled through tough circumstances that would eventually lead her to the empowerment she today possesses and now wishes to share with others. While growing up in a single-parent home with little to no help from her father, Erica felt she stood out from other children her age. This feeling would lead her to experience loneliness all throughout her childhood. As she attempted to combat this loneliness, she joined the Girl Scouts when she was 9 years old and remained a part of the organization until she was 17. Right out of high school, Erica served as a Girl Scout leader for 10 years. Afterwards, in 2005, she enrolled with the University of Pennsylvania's College of General Studies, where she studied sociology and worked as an administrative assistant in the dean's office at the Wharton School. With an expanding skill set, she followed her desire to grow her knowledge by attending Manor College, majoring in business administration and acquiring an administrative position in the marketing department at the Wharton School. This paved the way for Erica to found her very first company in 2013, which is entitled A Single Suggestion, which creates beautifully handcrafted stationery. So I'm going to stop right there. And Erica, you have a wonderful background, and I just wanted to share that part because it's important to highlight the battles that you went through and the battles that you overcame. And when I transitioned into your bio, we was discussing how you learned how to trust. Mm-hmm. So with sharing your background just now, I wanted the listeners to understand that no matter what you go through, you can overcome. So I want to turn the mic over to you, and you could just pick up from there, and I'm going to follow you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you want me to talk about something specific?
I want you to talk about the tough circumstances that led to your empowerment.
Okay. Well,
and I'm sorry, I didn't
make
that clear.
Oh, sure, no problem at all. Well, the definitely coming from a single parent home where my father was a little of no help, so I had abandonment issues. I was let down a lot, you know, by my father a lot of time. And I remember, and I can remember like it was yesterday, sitting by the window when Daddy said he was going to show up and he didn't. And it was multiple times. So that stuck out to me all my life. I had a hard time dealing with that and really just got that out of my system in like my late 30s. So I carried that throughout pretty much well into adulthood, which caused a lot of other issues within relationships. But even during that time, I struggled as well in school because I was teased a lot. So teasing is a form of bullying, and I got teased so much, I would take weeks from school. I would just hooky school for weeks. My mother had no clue whatsoever.
Wow.
I would just hooky school for weeks, and she would not find out until it was time for the report card to come. And she looked down and she said, "Where are all these absences coming from?" And that's when she found out I was hooking school, but I still never had the courage to tell her. I don't even think it was courage. It was just She was a single mother. I did not want to put any more stress on her than she already had. So I kept the reason for my staying out of school from her and just said I was just having fun and made something up. You know what I mean? So bullying, like teasing, was another thing. And that actually dropped my low self-esteem. So I struggled with low self-esteem for a great part of my life. So you have abandonment, you got bullying, which played into self-esteem, which takes a long time to heal when you're dealing with self-esteem. And only because you could have those deep-rooted issues when you're younger, but then you're in a world that says that if you don't look like this, if you don't act like this, if you don't dress like this, then you're not accepted. So that also throws a damper on what you're trying to do, which is build yourself up. So all of that stuff I had to deal with growing up as a teenager, which is very hard because you have to combat peer pressure. You know, so Girl Scouts helped me with that because it taught me how to not focus on my physical being all the time, but focus on my internal, my character, what I'm good at, what's valuable about me, what I have to offer. That's what Girl Scouts taught me. So that was really, really good for me. And then to focus on, you know, my mind and my heart. You know, what kind of person do you want to be? It structured me to be a good person. And my mother was good at that as well. And she always said, whatever it is you want to do in life, you can do it if you put your mind to it. You know, yeah. So even with those positive people and those positive things, it's still a struggle when you go out as a young girl and you're still trying to find out what your identity is. But those are the things I had to combat. And like I said, I didn't get through those things until I was like near 40. You know, okay. So it's mm-hmm. And the thing about it is because I didn't know how to seek out help. And the thing about that is that most families, when you grow up, it's like, you know, what's in the family stays in the family, and, you know, you got to pray and go to church and stuff like that. But when you're combating things like that, you need a counselor. And I'll tell anybody, you need to go to some kind of counseling so they can help you dig up the deep root of what's going on. And see, I did not know that. I did not know that it was okay to seek a counselor. You know, as well as pray, as well as, you know, go to church, as well as have a relationship with God. I didn't know it was okay to do that. And I didn't know that until it was time for me to go to marriage counseling. I'm divorced now, but I went to marriage counseling. And I didn't know it was okay to do that until I started then. You know what I mean? So I said, it's the journey is not an easy one. The only thing is that, and people look at what other folks have done to me, and but the thing about that is that you have to work on you. You cannot focus on what someone else has done to you.
Yeah.
You have to focus on what you can do for yourself and how you can recover from what the world has done for you. So it's how you look at it. It's internal work. It's hard work. It's internal work, but it's necessary in order for you to move out of that space.
That is so true. And this is a topic that really needs to be plastered on every billboard, on every highway, because it's so taboo about going to counseling, talking mm-hmm. to a therapist, getting the help you need. And it doesn't mean that you're crazy. It doesn't mean mm-hmm. that something is wrong. I mean, something is going on with you, but it's going back to those bags, the bag lady or a bag man. You're carrying too much stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it is weighing you down. And mm-hmm. we don't, you know, we wasn't taught, like you said. And growing up, everything was like, if you had parents and you could talk to them and they, like, really listened to you, then you had a different reaction to everything. But if it was taboo, you was kind of lost. You didn't know what to do, where to go, what to say. And it causes so many problems. So today we have so many open doors and so many people are bringing awareness to this topic. And as a life coach, I know that this is an area that you specialize in. And for those that don't know what a life coach is, could you tell us what a life coach is and then transition into why you chose to become a life coach and how people can contact you if they choose to reach out for counseling or coaching?
Sure, sure. A life coach is basically an accountability partner. It's someone to coach you, and you know, you come to them and you say, okay, this is where I'm at. This is what I would like to do. And they're an accountability partner. So what they do is they hold you accountable for where it is you're trying to go. If you're trying to be better in an area of, let's say, self-esteem, we're on the phone or video and we're talking through this and saying, okay, this is what you want to do. These are the steps you need to take. And we help you develop a plan to get you to the next level of where you would like to be. So that's really what a coach is. A life coach is. We're just coaching you through those life skills that we've learned, not only through taking, you know, going to school for it and getting a certification, but through life experiences. Most of your coaches have gone through what it is that they're helping you with. So we've already seen it, and we've made it to the other side. So now we're taking all of the knowledge that we learned and all the experience and saying, you don't have to do this by yourself because I have gone through it already and I'm going to show you how you can get through this and how you can get through this a lot faster and a lot easier than I did when I didn't have the help. Now that you have help, you can do this a lot better. And what made me become a life coach is for that reason, to be a listening ear to people, because I didn't feel as though I was being heard or no one understood me when I was going through all I was going through. I mean, people hear it, like my divorce and you know, self-esteem issues and stuff. People hear it and they, oh, you know, that's a shame and stuff. But they don't feel what you feel. And it could also be a person who has already been divorced, but their feeling towards it may be very different than your feeling towards it because they're not you. So they really can't understand what you're going through. And they just say, oh, it's going to be all right. And you sitting there saying, no, it's not. Not right now. I don't feel like it's going to be, you know what I mean? I don't feel like it's going to be all right. So you need somebody to listen to you and to understand what it is and be able to empathize with you.
Yeah.
Through all of that. And that's why I became to be a listening ear and to actually empathize with people and understand and listen to what they're saying, you know, beyond, you know, what they're asking me to help them with. I tune into every word that they say, and I listen, and I'm able to feel the hurt and pain that they've gone through. And I can walk them through that, and not just on the surface, but beneath the surface, and say,
yeah,
okay, this is what they're telling me, but that's not what I feel. I feel something different. Because sometimes the only way you're going to get to your next level is if you uncover some of that stuff that's still right beneath the surface. And if you don't release that, then you're not going to move.
Yes, that is so true. On my website, I have a piece entitled Take Off the Mask.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that can fit under the mask. Erica, it's amazing. Because the hurt, the pain, the shame, the fear, you know, the embarrassment, the bitterness, like whatever it is that you have gone through in life that has hurt you, that has wounded you, that has scared you, intimidated you, like we're good at covering up. We're good with putting masks on. But personally for me, when I said, you know what, God, I need to get to my own root issues, I'm ready to take this mask off. That's when my change came. because I asked for help and God made a way for me. And I'm so glad to have this interview with you and to just hear the passion in your voice. I lit up like a Christmas tree because the compassion I hear in your voice, you're not just a life coach because you're trying to make a name for yourself or you're trying to make money. This is your business and what you do, but many people are called by God to be a life coach. Some are assigned, but some are called to be a life coach. And it's the trials and the tribulations that they go through that prepares them. And I'm just going to make this personally for you because, you know, we're talking with you before the interview and just preparing, going through, you know, our interactions. I believe that all of the things that you went through was making and molding you for this role that you're in right now. So I'm going to call you a wounded healer. Because God has literally brought you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And you are showing forth the praises of God through the service that you are providing to your clients. And I commend you for that because wounded people need someone that they can trust. And just listening to you, I'm quite sure if someone is listening, they feel the love and the concern. And I really hope that someone will take the time to reach out to you. So at this time, we're going to take a commercial, and our commercial break is coming to you live from Life Coach Erica Burnett. And take it away.
All right. Now, this is my first time doing a commercial, so work with me for a second.
Sure.
I am certified life coach Erica Burnett. The name of my life coaching, I hate to say business, but the name of the life coaching business is Pathways of Reflection. And that was a God-given name that just came, didn't just come out of the air. I didn't even know what the name was going to be, but I had not a vision for that name, but someone actually gave me a little tip, and I went with that. So I've been a certified life coach for 1 year, and it's been great thus far. I love helping people. And if you would like to know more about me and the services that I offer, you can visit www.pathwaysofreflection.com. There, if you have any questions, I have a box for you to fill in, and you can drop me a note and send me an email message, and I guarantee you with any questions, I will answer your questions within 24 hours. You can also email me directly at pathwaysatreflection@gmail.com. And that is it for my commercial.
Okay.
I'm also on social media. I'm sorry. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter as well.
Yes. And I just want to add, if you could please give us your the address for contacting you on Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube.
Oh, sure. Now, my YouTube channel for coaching is not up yet, but I am on Instagram, and it's Pathways of Reflection on Instagram, and it is also the same on Facebook. But on Twitter, it is at Coach Erica Nicole.
Okay. Thank you so much for that information. And for those of you that are listening, Pathway of Reflection is a safe place, and it is a confidential place for any and all who want to walk their path of healing. And when you visit her social media, you will read those words. So I want to say again that it's a safe and a confidential space for you to walk that path of healing. And I want to encourage you, if you are listening, to please visit her website and reach out to her. Send her an email, set up a consultation, and just start
You know, just do it. Sometimes we say, oh, I'm going to wait to do this, I'm going to wait to do that. But if she has said something tonight through this interview that is really touching your heart, then I really want you to reach out to her so that your healing can begin today. So you could start this new path and transition in 2021 before 2022 comes in. And so, Erica, thank you so much for that commercial. You did a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you. I tried.
Look, I used to do the commercials, right?
Uh-huh.
And then I said, you know what? I want to start giving that space to my guests so that they can present their own business, ministry, or whatever it is they're doing that they want to share with our listeners, because it gives you that experience, and two, it's just more powerful coming from, you know, the featured guest. So you did really well.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. You can reach Life Coach Erica Burnett on any one of those platforms. So now we're going to talk about her mission statement. Could you tell us what your mission statement is?
My mission statement is basically to, because I, number one, I don't do everything word for word. My mind does not work that way. So I can say, so this is just a general, because I change my mission statement, you know, all the time. But basically, my mission as a life coach is to help people to live a more emotionally free and well life and more peaceful, basically, to help them live a better, more peaceful life.
And that is needed today. And I want to thank you for making yourself available to help those that have been wounded, those that, you know, need help to be pointed in the right direction. I've been doing what I do for a long time now, and one of the reasons I have this platform, Erica, is to help people and to bring guests on that really have businesses, ministries, coaching, whatever, that can help those that, you know, the biggest problem today is people don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And then it's finding someone that they can trust.
And that's the main thing, is the trust thing. And I honestly don't blame people for that, because if people have been dealt, I mean, when you have people who have abused your trust and they have hurt you and they have, you know, you confide in them and they take your information and they just spur it all over the place. And, I mean, I've been through all of that. It's hard to trust people. And, like, you can't blame any human being on this earth who does not trust somebody, because I can understand why they don't trust. You know, I can understand.
Yeah.
I can understand. I can definitely understand that because of how the world works. And when people come at you with all this different stuff, you don't know who's for real and who's not. And the only way you learn how to do that is you have to tap into God. You've got to build a relationship with God, because then he will show you who's who. And then you no longer have to be afraid, because now God is saying, he's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, no, this one ain't it. Leave him alone. She ain't it. Don't tell her anything. You know what I mean? And he actually literally talks to you and tells you, this is not them. So go the other way. You know what I mean? Leave this one alone. And he'll tell you, but until you get to that point, people will. They are afraid. And they, you know, rightfully so. I don't blame anybody for that, because I was afraid for many years. I look at people and, like, I'm not telling them anything because they don't know how to keep their mouth closed. You know what I mean? And I would sit back and say. But also another reason why people are afraid to trust people is because of shame. And I think that's it. Shame has a lot to do with it. A lot of times when we've been through so many different things and we carry, like, we've made so many different mistakes, we feel shameful about it. So we don't want to share what we've been through with anybody because we feel ashamed. And the thing about it is that everybody on this planet has made a mistake, has done something stupid, has done something wrong, has done something they wish they didn't do, or what we all have. You know what I mean? So nobody has the right to look down on you because you've made a mistake or because they have not done that mistake, but they've done plenty of other mistakes. And people will look down on you and all this other stuff. And that's another reason why people don't like, they feel shameful about what they've gone through and their experiences, and they think that people will look down on them if they open up and tell their story. Too. That's another thing. That's another side of it, which is really deep. You know, which is a really deep thing to go through. You know, so it's just pulling people out of that to say everybody's human. We all make mistakes, and we're going to continue to do it as long as we're living.
Yeah.
But all is forgiven. God forgives everybody. So as long as He forgives you, you don't have to worry about anybody else forgiving you. And you forgive yourself. That's another thing. You got to forgive yourself for what mistakes you've made. And then once you
you
don't have to worry about anybody else.
Okay. But I'm sorry, could you say that again? Did you say you have to forgive yourself?
Yes, you have to forgive yourself. That's where it starts.
And the reason I repeated, you know, asked you to say that, because a lot of people need to start there. Many
mm-hmm.
people... I love what you said. You're touching base on so many of the shows that are coming up. And for those of you that are listening, Erica is going to join me with roundtable discussions where we're going to be talking about a wide variety of topics, and we're going to kick it off with topics on self-love. But I have a whole section, Erica, that we're going to deal with overcoming condemnation, because shame
mm-hmm.
guilt, embarrassment, and condemnation, they all work together. And
mm-hmm.
the enemy is good with isolating people so
mm-hmm.
that they are not connected to people that can build them up and encourage them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go into that box of shame, it affects your confidence. It lowers your self-esteem. You don't feel worthy. And people open up themselves to enter into toxic relationships, and
mm-hmm.
they attract the wrong people, and they're, you know, they get wounded. So I'm excited about what we're going to be doing, but I'm so grateful that you brought out that shame, because that shame game, it's really time to say, look, shame, I'm looking you dead in your eyes. You have no power. You have no authority over me. And it has to be personal. But
yep.
I understand the secrecy, you know. I don't
mm-hmm.
want anybody to know what I did or what happened to me, because I'm going to be ostracized. I'm going to be criticized. But if you are listening to this broadcast, you are not going to be criticized. You are not going to be ostracized, because both of us know what it's like
mm-hmm.
to be in that place. But we both have overcome some very shameful things. And
mm-hmm.
shameful and painful things that have been done to us. So Erica has a very powerful testimony. She mentioned marriage a couple of times, but
mm-hmm.
I want to read her next inspirational message, and then I'm going to transition into the latter part of her biography, and all of this is connecting with our discussion. So her inspirational message of hope for you tonight is, you have the ability to overcome all difficulties. Everything you need is within. And I'm going to say that again. This is a quote, an inspirational message of hope by life coach Erica Burnett. You have the ability to overcome all difficulties, and everything you need is within. So having said that, I'm going to read the second part of her biography. In the first part of her biography, we talked about her childhood and the Girl Scouts and all of her accomplishments with the Wharton School and graduating and her job. And we congratulate you on all of your accomplishments in your single suggestion business. So this and other past achievements now serve as a constant reminder of Erica Burnett's ability to overcome anything and everything. Although Erica has faced numerous hurdles, including a fatherless upbringing, abandonment, bullying, self-esteem issues, and even her own divorce, instead of allowing them to stop her, she fought on and met each of her goals. Now incorporating both her professional and personal experiences, she has turned her obstacles into tools to help others. Having a desire to guide them and overcoming life's challenges, and inspired by our biggest supporter, God, Erica gained her certification in life coaching. Utilizing this certification, she hopes to serve as a source of encouragement for those wanting to share their stories while fighting to overcome past hurts, just as she has done. She knows wholeheartedly that her greatest accomplishment was learning to love herself, and now it is her mission to help others do the same as they better their lives, take charge of their feelings, developing their confidence, and most importantly, establishing their happiness and peace. So outside of this mission, Erica serves on the programming committee of the Greater Philadelphia Chapter's National Association of Women Business Owners. And the acronym for that is NAWBO. When she is not volunteering, she enjoys spending her free time partaking in arts and crafts, dancing, and bowling. So, Erica, it is a privilege and an honor to just know you and to get to share everything that you wanted to present to our audience today and to show others that they can overcome. And I want to celebrate you as a positive African-American queen that is doing great things in the community. So you have Pathway Reflections, LLC. You have a single suggestion, and I believe you have some other businesses that you want to share with us as well.
I have one that has not been formed yet. It's Erica Nicole, LLC, and I am transforming that into virtual assistant business. So I'll be providing virtual assistant services through that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And those are the only three as of right now.
Oh, okay. I thought it was another one besides that. Okay.
Oh, no,
so
no, that's
I must
it.
I must be prophesying.
There you go. That's it. What you said, you come. It must be something else coming down the pike that I haven't seen yet. I haven't thought about it yet.
So, Erica, overcoming so much, what advice do you have for someone that is listening and they are either in the beginning, in the middle, or the end of coming out of their hurt and pain? And they may be wondering, I'm listening to it, but I don't know how she did all of this. Like, can I do it? What could you possibly say to encourage someone tonight, to help them understand that it is inside of them? How can they tap into that?
It's God. It's God. He has a way of, how can I say this? He has a way of meeting you at a certain point in your life. And he met me not when I was going through the abandonment and the self-esteem issues and stuff like that. Where he met me, where I found out who he was through my divorce. And he just met me face to face and said, it is now time for you. It's not the divorce. Let me back that up. It was business. It was a combination of both, because at the time when I started the business is when I started to go through my divorce. So it was kind of like in between. But he basically said to me, he said, now is when your life has got to change. And he brought me up and he started to build me, meaning he surrounded me with people that spoke life into me. And they told me, you can do this. You're smart. You're this, you're that, whatever. It was God who showed me what I needed to have was already in the inside. It just needed to come out. And the reason why it was not coming out is because I kept holding all of the past pain in. I didn't let that out. I didn't talk about it. And when I started to talk about it, it freed me of all of that stuff. When it came up, it came out, and I was able to release it and let it go. So when somebody called me on it, oh, I heard, okay, that's nice that you heard, so, okay, and your point is what? Not to be smart, but after a while, I stopped letting people use that, what I had already been in, keep using that against me, and I said, okay, now we already know it's out. I'm no longer ashamed of what I went through, and what I went through was not my fault, and I know that now. And it's amazing, and I got to tell you a quick little story. I was vending at a place in Delaware at an event, and it was vendors at this event. It was a spiritual event, like a conference, and so they had a prayer session for vendors only. So they had all of the ministers and the bishops and things prayed over all of the vendors. One bishop looked me dead in my eye, and he said, I want you to know that what you're going through is not your fault. Mm. And I said, how in the world would he know what I was going through?
Right.
And I said, that is nobody but God. So you have to be open. You have to be open. Your heart has to be open. Your mind has to be open. And when it's time, God will meet you there, and he will show you, he will place people in your life that will speak to you in a way that it will resonate, and it will awaken something in the inside of you. And that's the only way I can explain it. Because only God knows what's in you, and he's the only person that can bring it out. But you have to be open, and you have to be willing to talk about what it is that you've gone through and know that it's okay, that you will not be judged. God's not judging you for that. And once you understand that he is the most important person, or, you know, not person, but spirit in your life, and if he's not judging you, then you don't worry about anyone else judging you.
Yeah.
So if he forgives you for everything you did, you don't have to worry about anybody else forgiving you.
That's right.
It's not for them to forgive you. It's for you to forgive yourself. And once you do that, no one can hold anything in your past over your head and make you relive it over and over again. So it frees you. So that's where you start. You start by forgiving yourself for what you've done, asking for forgiveness from God. Once you do that, then you can talk about everything. It frees you. It frees your mind and your heart, and it releases all of that pain and suffering. It releases you from it, and you can openly talk about it, and you can care less of what anybody thinks. But
that
it's a process. It's a process, and it's not an easy one, because I spent many a days on the floor crying where the deep cry, where snot come out of your nose, and all of that on the floor many a day for an hour or two, just crying and kicking, and I don't like feeling like that. I went through the whole thing. And when I got up, I felt so much better. And I climbed into bed, went to sleep, and it was like I never even went through it. It was like my whole soul had been cleansed after I got all of that stuff out. I mean, it went on for days, sometimes weeks. But once I got up each morning, I felt a little better each time. And then I noticed how I kept, somebody asked me, I would just let it out. I would just start talking. Now you can't shut me up. Somebody asked me what question. I know they like, I don't even know why I asked her, because she's still talking.
But you know what? Don't stop. Continue to just let it overflow, because what you have to say is rich. And, you know, I can so relate to what you're saying, because, Erica, the first time I held something in that was very, very painful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to release it. And I was too busy trying to be strong for my children, for my family. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm Superwoman. I got this. And let me tell you, I did the same thing you did, but I balled up in a knot on the floor. And, I mean, mm-hmm. I cried, and I mm-hmm. turned, and I kicked my – I mean, I was – a lot of it was anger. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was so angry that this had happened to me. And then, because you, I don't care who you are, when you're hurt and you're wounded, you know when things start changing for you, when you start coming out of character.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is not acceptable. I'm not taking this another day. So when you say the snot and all of that, let me tell you something. That's the
mm-hmm.
best kind of crying. You get the
mm-hmm.
best sleep afterwards, and all of that weight comes off of you.
Yep, it sure does.
And what I love
the most
is God collects all of those tears. And listen,
yep.
the things that we can't say, the Holy Ghost is interpreting our tears.
Mm-hmm.
And God is doing surgery on us, and, you know, you get up
mm-hmm.
empowered. It
you
is,
sure
it
do.
Is beautiful.
Yep.
And I want to ask you to say something to our listeners right now in regards to crying, because
mm-hmm.
I really feel like somebody needs to know it's okay to cry. And if
mm-hmm.
you've been crying back to back, like, you can't stop crying. It's cleansing, it's healing. But Erica, could you say something to them, please?
Sure. Crying is a wonderful thing. Crying really cleanses your soul. It's your body's way of saying that I can no longer hold on to this. And that's what it is. It's saying, your body is saying, you've been holding all of this in for so long, and we can no longer do this. It has to come out. And that's what happens. So when you feel yourself getting ready to cry, and sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes you could be watching a movie, don't have nothing to do with a crying scene in it. There's nothing sad going on in this here movie. But sometimes something in a movie or something you're watching on a video or something will remind you, will remind not you, not your conscious, but your self-conscious of something that you have already gone through that you did not heal from, and you'll start crying. But we want to suck it up and we want to stop. Let them flow, because that's your body's way of saying it's time for you to release this so you can now move on to something else. We need to get, and you will cry, and you will cry. You just got to let it go. Let it come up so it can go out into the world, and it can be, and you can be a better person, and you can be more peaceful. So allow yourself to let go. Cry as much as you need to cry. If you need to go in a bathroom at work, because I've done it. I've gone to a bathroom at work and went in there and shed a tear, wiped my eyes and went back to the desk, and nobody knew was the wiser what I just did. But nobody knew it. But I went and
mm-hmm.
sat right back down and did my work. But I felt a whole lot better. It needed to come out, because the more you hold that stuff in, the more bitter you will become. It will make you bitter. It will make you angry. And like you said, Stacey, it will make you act out of character. And you will sit there and say, where in the heck did that come from? It's all of that anger, all of that pain that you think is not there. If you don't address it, it's there. And that's the one thing people don't understand. When you don't address the things that you've gone through, they show up at the most inopportune moment, and then people They think you're crazy. It looks like you have lost your mind, but that is not it. It's just that it's unaddressed stuff that you keep pushing back, and you refuse to deal with it. So you want to deal with it, oh, I want to go out and party, and I want to drink, and I want to do this, I want to smoke weed, and thinking that's covering it up. It's not only, it's making it worse. That's all it's doing, because you're trying to hide behind it, and you can't hide behind it, because once the liquor is gone, the same feeling that you're trying to hide will come right back up. So cry as much as cry is crying. It's cleansing. It's getting rid of the junk. That's what crying does.
And, you know, the amazing thing is things that are covered up can't heal.
Nope, they can't.
So once you take that Band-Aid off, once you expose that secret, two things is going to happen. The Holy Ghost is going to step in and promote your healing and walk you through the valley of the shadow of death, where it's not even death. It's false evidence appearing real.
Right.
And the devil has to back up off of you.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we, you know, I'm a survivor of domestic violence. So for all of those years, I kept a secret from my family. One, because I didn't want my father to go to jail, because I knew he would have killed that person. I mean, you don't mess with black people, children. I mean, you just don't. Not with my dad. That would have been it.
Uh-huh.
So even in my situation, I was protecting my dad, but I was slowly dying in the inside, you know. And I had no choice but to tell it, because it got to the point where either – I was going to sink or I was going to swim. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to swim. I have to face the shame, the embarrassment, like all of the things we talked about. And let me tell you something. When I broke the silence, so much healing came forth. And I was able to breathe. And, you know, it didn't turn out negative like I thought it would be. You know, my family, thank God for prayer, because prayer changes things. But the moment, Erica, that I exposed what the enemy was doing to me, everything changed for me, because I was empowered now. I was now driving the bus. The enemy wasn't driving the bus. You're no longer controlling me. You're not intimidating me. I don't care what nobody thinks about what happened. And the worst thing for me is, we fought outside a children's hospital, and my baby was in a stroller. And this couple, he had punched me in my face, and my glasses fell off, right? So this couple was parked at the red light, and when I reached down to get my glasses and I looked up, like my eyes connected with theirs, and the bright light came on. I was like, why in the world are you out here displaying behavior like this that is not true to your nature? And these people looking at you like you, you know, they felt sorry, but they didn't. They didn't help me. They didn't call the police or anything. And at that point, I just walked away. I left him and my baby in the stroller, and I said, you know what? I have to take control of this situation right now. And I tell you, such a boldness rose up within me. And there was a time where, you know, I just was afraid to say it. But the freedom, it catapulted me to a whole nother level of healing and writing, which to me, next to crying, writing is very therapeutic and is very helpful. So, you know, just personally, I know that it causes the enemy to back up off of you. And that's where my change took place. And it's real important that, you know, when we share our story, we do have to be in a safe place, because you can't share with everyone, because some people are not ready to see you in your place of exodus, where you're coming out of the storm, where you're coming out of the valley. And I'm stressing that because some people want to see you miserable. They want to see you hurt. They don't want to see you overcome. So everything that we're talking about, if you are listening, we want you to come forth and we want you to share your story, but ask God for wisdom, because you don't want to share it with just anybody or the wrong person, because a lot of times people that don't want to see you succeed, they get close to you just, and this is not one of those things where you're being paranoid that we talked about earlier. This is real, where people simply don't want to see you get better.
Right.
And Erica, I'm going to turn the mic over to you.
Oh, okay. Let me see. What else can I say? Also, that is, and that's very true. You definitely have to watch out who you talk to. And a lot of times when people are not very welcoming of change, and you're trying to be better and you want to share your story, it's because they're angry with the fact that you're moving on and getting healing and stuff, and they are not, for one or two reasons. They're afraid to, or they just don't know how to. They don't want to take that step. And so what the saying is, misery loves company.
Mm-hmm.
That is very true. They're miserable. They don't want to move on. And they hate the fact that you are. You know, so you definitely have to, and it's a shame, but they come in all forms. It could be family, friends, or whomever. But when you're on that pathway to healing and living a more peaceful life, you may have to, it's going to cause some people to fall off. It's going to. People are going to fall off. You are going to find yourself alone a lot of times. Now, not lonely. It's not lonely. That's something different. But you are going to find yourself alone at times, meaning doing things on your own for the majority of a good period of your life, until you get to the point where all of that pain and all that suffering that you've been through, and you have you're now walking in your peaceful life, that's when God will place the right people around you. And they will start to coax you, and they will start to bump you up to that next level of what God has for you in your life. But you're going to be, trust me, it's going to be a whole lot of people who fall off, and they will be replaced by the ones that you really need to be around at that point in your life when you're beginning to heal and change. So trust me when I tell you, and that's a hard place to be in. When you feel as though you are out on a ledge by yourself and you don't know which way to turn, you will get the right people. God will never see you. He will never put you in a position and not provide you with the support that you need in order to move you to the next level, to go where you need to go. You'll have the support. You're just not going to have all the friends that you're used to having, all the way of life that you're used to, everybody calling you, texting you, y'all partying here. They're going to fall off real fast, real quick, okay? Now, when I say alone, that's different than being lonely or feeling lonely.
Yeah.
When you feel lonely, in my opinion, you feel as though nobody is there, it's just you, and you're just doing this whole thing by yourself, and you know it just, you're just sad and depressed because no one's there, and that's not true. See, when you have a purpose in life, which we all have one, we're all called to do something. It's just that sometimes God calls us and some of us don't answer. We all have a choice whether we answer or not. So when you are feeling lonely, that's like a void. That's like a void of purpose. Because if you are working towards purpose and you have something to do with your life, something that you are given, that you're responsible for sharing with the world, you won't, pretty much, you won't feel lonely at all. If you're doing it for the right reasons, because you do have many of superstars, millionaires out there and things like that who have committed suicide, who do drugs and all that stuff, and they are what you call making the money and all of that stuff, but it's not, most times it's not purpose-filled. When it's a purpose and you're doing what God called you to do, it fulfills that, it fills that void. You won't have one. Now, you may desire certain things in life. When you have a desire, desires don't go away. You're human. So human beings are meant to be relational and all that stuff. We're meant to be in relation with one another. You know, that's understood. But at the same time, you won't settle for less than what you know you deserve. So you'll be so purpose fulfilled, and you'll be pushing on that you won't even have time really to sit there and have a lonely thought, because you'll be so worn out, you'll be ready to get into bed and go to sleep by the time you get finished. By the time you get finished. But definitely it's walking that walk is what you want to say is not for the weak. That is not for the weak. When you start to heal yourself and you get on a better path, your life is going to change drastically, and you will feel as though nobody understands you, nobody is there, ain't nobody calling for you. That's part of it. That's how you know you're on the right path, is when folks start dropping off and the people, places, and things start to change. Because once your mind changes, and once your heart changes, your whole environment has to change, or there will always be a constant conflict. And it'll cause a rift. So everything has to change. Everything has to change once that changes.
That is powerful. Everything that you just said is absolutely powerful. And I was actually thinking about the song by Vashawn Mitchell. Remember his song, There's Beauty in My Brokenness?
No, I have not heard that.
Well, I am going to send it to you.
Send that to me so I can listen to that.
Yes, I'm going to send it to you. And but even though I'm hearing it, I was saying there's beauty in my loneliness.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I think I'm going to have to write a piece about that too, because there, when you said there's a difference to being lonely and experiencing loneliness, when you're happy in your loneliness, that's a whole nother level of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And Erica, I learned that I had to be alone in order to face, you know, you say life coaches, a part of being a life coach is accountability to help that person overcome the things they want to overcome and talk about, the goals they want to set. So the Holy Spirit was my accountability person. And
mm-hmm.
in the beginning of my loneliness, like, I was so doggone lonely, I was like, God, what is going on? You know, I'm used to having my children, my family around me. And so, like you say, it could be family, friends. When God is separating you, it is
mm-hmm.
distinct. You know, like, nobody can help you right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I really had to learn how to surrender
mm-hmm.
to the process of being processed. And after I got over feeling like, you know, my whole world is falling apart, I just found so much peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I started carving out time that was just for me and God. And it was like I didn't let anything interfere with it. And I just blossomed. So that's
mm-hmm.
why I brought up, you know, beauty in my brokenness, but beauty in our loneliness. And
mm-hmm.
I think anybody, whether you have been in a, you know, coming in or coming out of an abusive relationship or coming out of a marriage or just your relationship ended, I think everybody needs to take some time to be alone so that they can heal. Because a lot of times people go right into another relationship and you bring all of that baggage. And like you, what I wanted to comment on, what you were saying, you know, we have so much stuff that's still lingering there when people get angry and go off on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. The weeds, like, intertwine with our flowers in the garden. And sometimes those weeds can hide in the background, like we don't even know they're there. But eventually, they will start growing with the flower. So everything that's lying dormant in our lives, and I'm talking about that weed symbolically is like the anger or the rage. When that good rainfall comes and all of a sudden you see this tall weed in your garden and it's just taking over. That's the same way that anger and that bitterness is lying dormant until something comes to trigger it or to water it. And that's why we really need to deal with our issues, especially if somebody do something to offend you or to hurt you, take ownership of it, you know?
Right.
This is
right.
How I love to use, and I know you probably use it with the coaching, but I love to use the I statements, because when you make an I statement, the chances of that person be offended is decreased, because some people still may get offended. But you're stating how it made you feel. And to me, that has really worked. But I had to learn how to do that. Because if you come out like, you did such and such and such, and it made me feel this way and blah, 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 that would just trigger a negative reaction in that person. So, and I mean, this is so good because we could go on in so many directions with this. But in regards to, I'm going to ask you a two-part question. So in regards to what you said about the anger, I want to revisit that, but also with that loneliness, because when we take that anger into that lonely place, that can also trigger the spirit of depression, where the things that you think and the things that are happening, it's like a smoke screen. Everything is negative. Everything you hear is negative. Everything you see is negative. Like, am I making sense with what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That anger almost blinds you. So when you're angry like that and you go into that lonely place, can you touch base on that?
Sure. It's when you go into that that lonely place and you just angry and you just sitting up in there and you like, I'm trying to figure out, it's almost like you feel as though you're being punished. And I used to say that all the time. I used to say, okay, I feel like, I used to tell one of my girlfriends, I said, I just feel like God is punishing me. I'm like, because this don't make no sense. I said, why do I have to go through it? And she said, that's not it. I said, but it feel like it. I said, it feels like it. And I said, I'm just being honest. I said, I do everything I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? Why is this happening to me? Divorce and all this other here stuff and all this nonsense. And I said, why do I have to go through this? I feel like I'm being punished for doing what's right. And that's how you feel. You feel like it's punishment. And you don't know that it's not punishment until you sit still and listen to what God has to tell you until you listen. And sometimes it takes more than just listening, because I watch the personal development videos, and I watch them every day. So I watch, like, some ministers on YouTube and, you know, certain talks and stuff like that. I watch every day. I always pour into myself something positive, God's word, or, you know, just something positive as a whole every day. I make sure I do something like that every day. And I used to just sit up there and say, okay, all right. You know, after a while, I'm like, okay, I ain't believe it at first. I'm going to be honest. And I was sitting up there saying, no. I said, because what happens is the world will show you this pretty picture of what everybody else is going through. Like, this one over here got a good marriage. They've been married for 10 years. This one over here been married for more than that. And you sitting there like, well, I just got divorced. and I'm sitting up here by myself. Why everybody get married now? And that's how I look. Everybody get married, and I'm sitting over here. I done came out of this little dumb divorce. I mean, this dumb marriage. Everybody over here get married. They all happy and all this other here stuff. And God said, you don't know what's going on in their relationship. How you know they happy? How would you know that? I'm going to need
right.
you to focus on yourself. You need to focus on yourself. And the thing about it is that all the circumstances I went through, like I would have so many revelations. And I'm like, oh, you ain't ready for no relationship. And I used to sit there and I used to say, that's why. And it just clicked. And I said, that is why. I said, this is why I am alone. I am alone because I am not ready yet. And I finally got it. I
wow.
finally got it. And but it took a while to sink in. It took years for it to sink in. Because I spent years upset. Okay, upset and walk around in here talking about how come everybody else got somebody, I ain't got nobody. You know what I mean?
Right.
This don't make no sense. I'm a good person. I do what I'm supposed to do. Why I got to be? And I said, every time something happens, God says, see, because you're not ready yet. I want you to be whole, happy, and healthy and in a relationship with me before you get into a relationship with somebody else. You're not ready.
Yeah.
You're just not ready. And you just have to pay attention. You just got to pay attention to the mistakes you make and things that you got. And it's the thing about it is when you're in a relationship, it's a whole nother thing. It's a whole nother person you're dealing with, and you got to be able to have an open mind and open heart to understand what it is that they're going through every hour of the day, every day of the week, and all of that stuff. And also you have to take care of your well-being. You have to be equipped for that.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
everybody who is married is equipped for it. You got to be equipped for it. That is taking care of the well-being of someone else. It's a whole nother thing that you have to be equipped for. You got to be equipped for that. So that's why I started to embrace and stop being angry. It took me a while, but I got there. And just embrace the fact that I am alone right now. But the thing about it is I have everything I need. How about
mm-hmm.
that? It's not that I'm not lacking in anything at all, really. I'm not lacking anything. I have everything I need. God has given me everything I need since day one of my divorce. I am literally doing much better financially than I was when I was married. I said, now how did that happen?
And that's a question I want to ask you. Why do you think you tapped into a higher level of success after your divorce?
Because that divorce, I wasn't ready for it. And it wasn't that divorce, that marriage was not God's marriage for me. That
okay.
wasn't it. That's why. And I put my husband before I put God. That was the problem. The God was not in our marriage. That wasn't
Erica,
the one God chose for me.
Mhm. That's powerful. It takes a lot of courage for you to say that, and I so love you and admire you for that, because a lot of women, they do put their husbands before God, and we have to find balance in that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you realize that, what kind of changes did you start making? Because I know you didn't divorce right away, but I know that process had started.
That process started, and it started, I think, at the 40-year-old mark, when I turned 40 years old. And I started to separate myself, not on purpose. It wasn't on purpose. I was so engrossed in getting my business started and all that stuff, I just naturally started to separate and didn't even realize it. I got to the point where that's the way the, some of the snot-nosed crying I did. I would just get these
right.
feelings in my gut, and I was like, "What is going? Why am I feeling like this?" And I'm on the floor crying. I said, "What is this about? Why am I feeling like this?" And I didn't learn till like later on. I said, "That's what that was." I said, "You were in a grievance period. I was grieving. I was grieving a loss that I did not know I was going to have until I opened up my mouth and said I wanted a divorce. So I grieved before the divorce."
That's powerful.
And I said, "Are you serious?" And then when it was time and my ex-husband asked me, he said, he must have saw something on my face because he said, "Well, what's wrong? What's going on?" I said, "I want a divorce." And when I said it, there was no hesitation. And I wasn't sad about it or anything. It just came out. It was no forethought in it. None.
Wow.
And it even surprised me. I said, "Oh, did you just say that?" You know how you? I said, "Oh, you just." I wanted to, yeah. And it just came out. My ex-husband was mentally and emotionally abusive.
Okay.
And people will say, "Well, that mental and emotional abuse is no joke." Because when
kind.
Someone's playing, yes, it is. It's the worst kind. Because people who do that to another human being will have you thinking you're crazy, and some women have committed suicide because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because men, their husbands or boyfriends or whatever, have made them feel like they have lost their minds and they don't know what's going on. And some of them have committed suicide. Some of them are in a nut house. Or in a psychiatric ward. Some of them are on medication, all because of mental and emotional abuse. And the thing about it is I did not realize it until I went to counseling because
mm-hmm.
I never knew anything about mental and emotional abuse. I didn't know anything about that. I had no clue what that stuff was. Until the counselor started telling me, "Well, these are the signs," I said, "Get out of here." I had no clue what that was. I knew it wasn't. I knew the feelings I had weren't right, but I didn't know what the titles were.
Mhm.
But yeah, I just divorced, and he made it as hard as possible. And just did everything he could to make my life a living you-know-what until it was over with.
But you know what?
And
that's the classic sign. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And once I got those divorce papers in the mail and I changed my name or my social security, all of that stuff, do you not know a huge weight was lifted off of my shoulders?
I know that's right.
It's almost like I had an awakening. I could not believe it, how free I felt the minute I got that paper in my hand.
Because that was the grand finale.
Mm-hmm.
All of the narcissistic behavior
mm-hmm.
that you endured, all of the mental anguish, like he tried, I mean, I don't even know the whole story, but just what I'm picking up, he tried to destroy you,
mm-hmm.
and everything, you know, I love Genesis 50 and 20 because it says what the enemy meant for bad, God works it out for our good. So
what
the enemy thought he was going to do for you, God is working it out for your good. So listen,
mm-hmm.
bam, once that cord was cut and you got those divorce papers, the Holy
mm-hmm.
Ghost said, okay, she about to soar now. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. She's going to tap into this. And, you know, here you are. So
mm-hmm.
thank you so much for sharing your story. And now I know why I chose that song, Change, by Tremaine Hawkins.
I have one more thing I want to say that you mentioned that
sure.
I meant to say something. It's when you mentioned that you believe some coaches are called by God. And you said that earlier. And the reason why I want to touch on this is because I believe that is true. And the reason why is because I'm an introvert. I am an a true one. You hear me? I could be up in this house by myself for weeks at a time. It would not bother me. Without talking, it would, talking to anybody, it would not bother me. That's how I know. That's how I could tell anybody. God asked me to do this because when he put it on my heart to be a coach, I was like, are you sure? Because I was sitting up here saying, are you certain that this is what? Because I'm not sure this is going to work. And the reason why I said that is because I am, I'm an introvert, but I'm also an empath. I'm super sensitive to people's energy, whether it's positive or negative. And so I get drained very easily. And I did not want, I did not understand why I drain when people, some people, not everybody, when some people talk to me, I would drain. Like somebody would talk to me and all of a sudden I would get sleepy and start to yawn. And I'm like, oh, I know they think I'm just as rude. But I didn't realize that's what that was. And it kept repeating. And I said, why is that? It's because the person's energy is either sad or like very negative, and it just sucks the life out of me. So I sit there and all my body can do is say, you need to rest because this is tiring you out. So that's why when I, like, I could be at work and when I come home, I don't want to talk to anybody because I don't have no energy. My emotional energy is drained from being at work with a whole lot of people. But when I come home, I don't want to talk to nobody. And it's not that I don't love family, friends, and stuff like that. I just don't have the emotional capacity all the time to deal with a lot of people.
And, you know,
so
that's
why I said, how is this going to work?
But, you know, when you think about the military, especially special forces, once they do what they do, they have to debrief, you know. They have that season where, you know, let's just chill out, give the information we need to give, and I need to, like, take some time. It's healthy to do that. I was working with someone the other day, and I made a suggestion. I said, well, when you come home, write a list. I like to use the conference table, and I said, draw a line down the middle of the paper, and you want to put your negatives and your positives. And I said, everything negative that happened to you for that day, write it in that negative column, and then write down all of the positive things. So whatever is negative that you can is salvageable, and you could put it in that positive column, work towards that. But if you know it serves no purpose and have no value and it's going to drain you, throw it in the trash before you even go to bed. And
that's
that
a
way,
good idea.
Listen, it's powerful. That's how my it helped me with my healing process. And so I share it with those I come in contact with. But it allows you to empty out because, Erica, sometimes we go to bed with all of that negative stuff of the day.
That's true.
And so if you take that time, and it could be 10, 15 minutes. It depends on you. And, I mean, take whatever time you need. But if you know, okay, I responded to this that way, and, you know, that was a false response. You know, you really get to talk to yourself and work it out and say, no, I don't need this. I'm going to throw it in the trash. But I could work in this area right here. And believe it or not, God started showing me stuff with me that wasn't really pretty either. You know?
Well, yes, he will. He'll say, you need to change that. Okay?
Yes. And, Erica, that's when I knew that I had tapped into a higher, like, Shrek say ogres are like onions. They come in layers. So our healing comes in layers, too. And each time you learn something new and you're ready to go deeper, God is ready to heal you on that deeper level. And it got to the point where I'm like, okay, God, what you going to show me today? Because I want to deal with this thing so I could be free.
Right.
And
right.
It has catapulted me to a whole nother level of just exposing the lies of the enemy. Because for me,
mm-hmm.
it was so much that I was believing that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And once I dislodged the lies and embraced the truth, oh, my gosh, my mindset started changing, healing, joy, freedom, like all of that stuff you said you experienced when you got those divorce papers. It is
mm-hmm.
real.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to do the work.
Yep. It's just going to take the work. You got to dig deep and get that stuff out of there. And I think people fear that. They don't want to bring back up the stuff that they're trying to hide because it's too painful. But what they don't
yeah.
understand is that when you do that, it's going to show up whether you like it or not. It's going to show up at the most unopportune time. And now, and I've said this before a while ago, is that you're forcing individuals around you to be your counselor or your therapist, and they're not equipped to do that because you won't do the work. So now you're going to go to your job or you're going to go to deal with other people, and you're going to act a certain way, and all that pain and hurt is going to come up, and it's going to show, it's going to make you look like you're crazy. So you're forcing people to deal with your issues, unequipped people to deal with your issues because you will not. And that's what causes people, like, a lot of risks on the job, like when you go to the job and people don't get along and all this stuff. They don't get along is because one or the other is forcing the other one to deal with stuff that they don't know what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you don't get along, is because you got a lot of stuff going on. One of you got something going on that you haven't dealt with, and now you're bringing it to the table to this person, and they're like, what is going on? I can't deal with this
right.
person. Yeah, they can't deal with you because you got a lot of junk that you're trying to make them deal with when they shouldn't have to. So we're on these jobs and we're in organizations and stuff like that, forcing other people to help us when these people are not equipped to help you. Because you won't look at your own stuff. And then, see, that's a thing that's not fair. Because when people are choosing not to do the work, that's different. Most people are very aware of their issues, and they are choosing not to do anything about it. That's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
It is a choice. Now, whether they're fearful or, you know, they don't want to trust and all that stuff, it's still a choice.
Well, if I may, I would
mm-hmm.
like to make a I would like to make a recommendation for you, and you may be doing it already, but
sure.
this is what the Holy Spirit is leading me to say. If
mm-hmm.
you're not doing any corporate life coaching,
mm-hmm.
you may want to consider that path, because if I was an employee, like, just listen, what you just said is so real, and people don't know that. And there
mm-hmm.
are some corporations that do hire life coaches to come in and talk to their employees to help,
mm-hmm.
You know, put out little fires, but to help with empowerment and, you know, conflict resolutions. But I really feel like that's an area that will be an open door for you.
Oh, wow. I never even thought about it. But now
mm-hmm.
it's going on my list. It's going on my list.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Look, thank the Holy Ghost. That was a download.
Thank you very much.
We have 14 minutes left. So I want to say that you are listening to the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network, and our featured guest tonight for Welcome to the Couch is life coach Erica Burnett. I hope that you have been blessed by the interview and our discussion. And I just want to highlight her inspirational messages that I want to share again, which is, you have the ability to overcome all difficulties. Everything you need is within you. And Erica also says, asking for help is not a weakness. It's a sign of wisdom and strength. It means that you are wise enough to know you need help and strong enough to ask for it. So if you have listened to this interview and you know
that it is time for you to reach out for help, I want to provide her contact information. So Life Coach Erica Burnett, her email is pathwaysofreflection@gmail.com. And that's pathways with a S and then ofreflection@gmail.com. And you can also reach Erica Burnett, Life Coach Erica Burnett, at the following social media links. She's on Facebook, and all you have to do is Google Pathways of Reflection, LLC. You can contact her on Instagram, and her Instagram is Pathways of Reflection. And on Twitter, Twitter name is Coach Erica Nicole. And on LinkedIn, you can find her as Erica N. Burnett. So we thank you so much for joining us today. And Erica, I want to give you an opportunity to give your closing remarks and anything else that you would like to share with our radio listener today. And I do want to invite you back because I really enjoyed this conversation, and I look forward to the other things that we're going to be doing together. But this is your opportunity to shine, and just if you want to give a shout-out to anyone that has been an encouragement to you, that has supported you, I mean, because you're just doing so much. And I truly, truly celebrate you for all of your accomplishments and all that you have yet to accomplish, because I know you're working on so many things. But this is your time to shine. So take the mic and speak what's on your heart.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. I just want to say to everybody out there is that, especially my sisters out there, is that I know women, we have a lot on our plates, and we feel as though a lot of times we have to be superwoman, and we have to have, you know, we wear many hats, and we have to do many things, and we take, you know, we're natural nurturers, and we want to take care of everybody. But the one person that you really need to focus on taking care of is yourself. And I say that because if you do not provide self-care, self-love for yourself, you may not be around to take care of anyone else. And you want to be whole, happy, and healthy person so you can be the best version of yourself, so you can give that and you can pour into the lives of others. So I think that's very important for you to do. It's very important for you to do that internal work. And it doesn't stop once you get through that healing, that hurt, and that pain, and release it. It doesn't stop, because the world continues to throw things at you, negative things at you, because when you get on that healing path, that's when it all starts, like a rolling ball. That's the wrong word I want to say, but it just festers after that. When you start that path of healing, everything starts to come at you from different angles, things that you have never even seen before. But you'll be stronger, you'll be more wise, and you'll be able to handle it, especially with God's help. So I am definitely pushing that. Develop a relationship with God. Talk to God. He's waiting for you. He has all the answers because, you know, he created you. So he knows what you need. He knows where you're going. He knows who you need to meet. He knows what time you need to be there, down to the minute. So I just push that. Build a relationship with God. Get your healing. Do your internal work. And be careful of the information that you receive on a daily basis. That really is important. Feed yourself positive information always. Always. You know, watch and be very mindful of what you take in, what you see, what you hear, because nobody's mind on this earth is that strong where we're able to watch a bunch of negative things on television or listen to a lot of negative things on a radio or listen to a lot of negative conversations and not take that in. The brain will suck anything in, and it will believe it. if you listen to it long enough. So you definitely have to watch what you take in on a daily basis. Try to free your mind up of all negative energy. And like Stacey said, with that list, and that's a perfect example. Write down the positive things for that day that you went through and the negative things, and try to turn them negative things into positive. If you can't, throw them in the trash and get rid of them. That's the best advice I've ever heard in my life, and I'm going to start doing it because I need to do that, you know, do more. But you just got to be just be mindful. You have to be mindful. Mindfulness is very, very, very key, and you have to pay attention also to your own thoughts, because things, when you start to become well and you start to, you know, have a relationship with God, thoughts come into your mind that you have never, I mean, crazy thoughts out of the blue come to your mind about different things, even things that you have not even thought about, like since years ago, would just pop up to try to distract you from doing better, from being better, from becoming what you were created to be. Because we all have a purpose in this lifetime, and it's not for us to just exist day to day and just go to a job and work and come home, eat dinner, and go to bed. That is not the extent of your life. We all have gifts that we have that we can share with the world, and our gifts are needed. Different people around the world need what we have, but you want to be the best that you can be when you're sharing that gift. So, and the only way you can do that is to do your internal work. And I do have one person. There are many people who have poured into my life, who have believed in me from the very beginning, who, when God called them and said, this young lady needs your nurturing, your mentoring, your instruction, stick with her, stay with her. Many of people, my former manager who was the chief of staff, Patricia Wilson, she was one, who was very instrumental in who I am today. Miss Marie Gravely was my first mentor. She was my Girl Scout leader. And also Miss Madeline Dawson, who is always telling me that, girl, I'm trying to keep up with you. You're doing great things. And also, last but not least, my mother, because she's the one that put the bug in my ear and said, anything you want to accomplish, you can do. You can do anything you want to do. So that is all I have to say. Internal work, stay positive, and ask for help when you need it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Amen. Well, I am encouraged. I may end up being one of your clients.
I need to be sitting there. I need to be laying on your couch while you taking notes.
Look, we'll take turns. One day your day, one day my day.
I know that's right. Okay, with a nice little comfortable pillow.
But, you know, that's what's so wonderful about being sisters. And really caring for one another. And, you know, as we go forward, I really hope that we impact our community of women. And one thing I want to say, Erica, before we close, although we've been talking about issues that we have gone through, men go through the same thing.
They sure do.
And could you just talk a little bit about the men? Because your services is not limited to women. You're open to everyone. So if you could kind of just put a plug in there, so if a brother is listening, they know they could come to you.
Oh, sure. Yeah, and the thing about it is that I really would like to work with the men, and I say that, you know, it's not that I fully understand, like, a man's insides and outs, but what I do know is men rarely have a safe place to be open. Because of fear of being judged and being too soft and you know, and being looked at as, you know, the head, the provider, and the leader. Well, the leader can't lead if he ain't right on the inside. How can he lead? So he needs a place where even leaders need counselors. All leaders have counselors. You need a counselor so you can unpack this stuff, so because men get stuff thrown at them every day just like we do. So men out there, I take male clients as well. men, you guys do need someone to talk to about all that goes on in your life each and every day. Men have it hard as well, because for you to have to lead a household and be the provider and be the educator and all that stuff, there's no way in the world you could take on those responsibilities and not need a person to talk to. And it's not like you've never been hurt, you've never been abused and all that stuff. Men go through that same thing, and they don't have a platform to say, I've been, or they can't cry because big boys don't cry and suck it up and just take it or whatever. That's a bunch of bull. Let me put that out here right now. Before you're a man, you're a human being. Human beings need someone to talk to about their problems. Everyone does. That's why God created counselors and therapists and psychologists and all these people for that reason, because we all need these people. We all need somebody to listen to us and help us with our issues. So that is understood. So I do take male clients as well. And I can be accountability part. Where you want? What do you want to work through? Self-esteem issues, whatever it is. And if I cannot provide you with what you need, I will definitely refer you to someone who can.
Well, that is wonderful, and I'm so glad to hear that. I do empowerment for men as well, so I will have you on. Like, there's so much that we're doing, you know. So I would love to have you on the panel. And thank you so much for joining me today and everything that you have shared. So many wonderful nuggets have been shared. And, I mean, like some of the stuff you talked about, we could set up like 5, 6, 7 shows right now just based off of the topics. And then you know, they're deep topics, but they need their own section to go a little deeper so that people can really know the help that's available and to learn the different processes. So one of the things that we didn't touch base on a lot, and we are running out of time, but was the self-love piece. And I know that's something that's very important to you. So you could close out with that, with the self-love piece.
Sure. Self-love, that's very important. That's extremely important, because if you can't love yourself, how can you love anybody else? Even the Bible speaks about love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself.
Yeah.
You know, so you treat your, and that's where the overall behavior comes from. So if you see someone who treats another person badly, that's not personal to that other person. That other person did not make them treat them that way. That's how they see themselves. That's how they treat themselves. So if you want to know how somebody feels about themselves, look at how they act, or look at how they treat someone else. That's how they treat themselves. If they talk down to somebody, that means they're at home or in their own head, and they're actually talking to themselves like that. It's just that it looks like they're talking to the person in that manner or in that rude manner, or they're being very nasty with their words. No, that talk is not directed toward that person. That is internal talk. That's why you have to be careful, and you have to love yourself. And a person who loves themselves, they stand out in a room, and you can tell it. You can tell a person who loves themselves. And how do you love yourself? It comes in different forms. You could read a book that you like. That's self-love. You could take a bubble bath. That's a version of it. You could take a walk, get some fresh air. That's self-love. It's about doing what you want to do that makes you feel good about yourself. Cooking for yourself is self-love. Changing the sheets on your bed is self-love, believe it or not. It's self-love.
Yes, it is.
Cleaning your room. That means you want a clean room for yourself. You're doing that for you and not for somebody else. It's doing things for you that make you feel good. That is very important, because if you do not take the time to take care of you, then how is it that you are going to take care of someone else? Or at the same time, it sends a message to other people of how you feel about yourself. So when you don't take the time to love yourself, people notice that, and they will treat you as you treat yourself. So if you don't love yourself, that's how they're going to treat you. They're going to treat you like they have no love for you. And you definitely don't want that. So that's very important.
And it's so important to learn that lesson, because many people are in the wrong relationships because of what you just said. And they continue, you know, if the question is, why do I keep attracting the same kind of people? Get healed. Get healed. Because remember, I always use this Animal Kingdom. That lion will crouch down low and is watching that zebra, that younger zebra that's wounded. And when he comes out, those older zebras, they running. I mean, they may try and cover that younger one, but that younger one is not strong enough. And look, the blood from the wounds, the lion smell it, and he coming in for the kill. And it's the same way in relationships, whether it's a male or a female. Your woundedness carries an odor.
It does.
And that odor,
that was well said. That you said that well.
Yes, our woundedness carries an odor, and the scent, it attracts the wrong person.
It sure does. It sure does. It does.
Speaking about predators, and those predators are out there just waiting for that particular scent, because they know they could come in and pounce on them. That narcissist, I could come in and control them. I can isolate them from their family, their friends. I will destroy her. I will destroy him. And people, this is what they do. They make a living doing this.
They sure do.
So,
had
you not came on the show tonight, this particular area would not be exposed the way it's being exposed right now. So, girl, we just punked Satan. He just got punked because we just exposed it. And it needs to be exposed on a higher level, because, you know, too many people are wounded and walking around hurt when they don't deserve it. You know what I mean? And it's time for change. So, Life Coach Erica Burnett, thank you so much for joining me at the couch today. Continued success to you. I look forward to working with you, and thank you for joining me. And you can say the closing remarks, and then just, you know, say goodnight, and then we'll go.
Okay. I just want to say, everybody, love yourselves, work on you, and try to be the best version of yourself. And Miss Stacy, I appreciate this. It has been absolutely wonderful. I am honored that you asked me to be on the show, and I am so happy that I did. It's a wonderful platform. I appreciate who you are and what you are doing, so please keep this going.
Oh, I sure will, and thank you. And there ain't nothing shy about you.
I am an introvert. I don't know, but everybody keeps saying I don't see that. But hey, I mean, I'm telling the truth.
Look, the next time you come on, I'm playing Diana Ross. I'm coming out.
Wait a minute, I got that song in my car.
No, okay. Well, you need to play it, and when we hang up, I'm gonna send you the song by Vashawn Mitchell.
Oh, the one about the brokenness.
Yes.
The beauty of the broken. Okay, wonderful. I definitely want to hear that.
Yes, I'm going to send it to you soon as we hang up. And love you much, and you have a wonderful weekend.
Love you too. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And thank you again.
All right. You're welcome. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.